Beijing Foreign Languages Audiovisual Publishing House, Beijing Foreign Studies University,
It is a real pleasure to be here to open the third meeting of our forum and to be welcoming such a distinguished and influential group of people from both our countries, many of whom are now old friends. The forum aims to represent the strength of the relationship between our two countries outside the political relationship. And looking round today, it's clear that the relationship is very strong indeed. It's a sign for me that the forum goes from strength to strength, and I believe it's playing a key role in the relations between our two countries, as confirmed by the Prime Minister in our call on him this morning. This year, we've taken the theme, The Challenge of Globalization, for our meetings and discussions. This theme has a particular resonance for me. On the 11th of September, I, along with a number of world statesmen, was in Beijing to discuss China and the world in the 21st century. None of us could possibly have known, as we debated economic development, environmental change, and security issues, what was going to happen that day. But many of the speakers warned of the fragility of the world order. It made me realize, more clearly than at any other time, just how important understanding between the nations of the world is. Our forum, and the discussions we will have in the next day and a half, are part of this vital process of understanding. Globalization is a challenge for all of us, both developed and developing countries, and we have a lot to share and learn. As globalization increases, and as all our countries come to terms with the global industries, we can, as different nations, work together to understand the issues and effects these developments bring. These opportunities can only be grasped by people. People talking, traveling, exchanging ideas and experiences. And that is what we are here today to do. Our discussions here will center around a number of very interesting issues. Trade and the environment in the globalization of the economy. Chinese culture facing the world. E-learning and e-commerce. Balancing public purposes and commercial interests in the media. And China after WTO, to name but a few. As far as I can see, joining the WTO presents a huge challenge for China. The requirements of joining WTO for corporate governance, for transparency, and for reliable and enforceable laws, whilst producing some pain in the short term, will no doubt be part of the way in which economic growth can be encouraged and sustained. I personally am much looking forward to my own involvement in the discussions on small and medium-sized enterprises. China's decision to embrace the dynamism of the private sector brings up the role small firms can play in achieving rapid growth and innovation. They are, and can be, a significant engine for economic development. So, we have much work to do in our forum. We want to show our Chinese friends how much of a partner the UK can be, but also that as a sign of a mature and true relationship, we can afford to be frank and open in our discussions with one another. This will be particularly true in the sessions on issues of competitiveness and corporate governance that will be held tomorrow. We are building on discussions and relationships that are already well-founded. And I believe that this forum will take the special role that our meeting plays in the relations between our two countries further forward.
单元二，我们同英国朋友再次聚首在美丽的泰晤士河畔，召开我们的第三次大会。我谨代表参加此次会议的中方代表，感谢英方的盛情邀请和精心安排。自去年的大会以来，中国又发生了很大变化。 尽管当前国际经济形势并不理想，但是中国的经济仍然保持了较高的增长速度。前九个月，工业增长 10.3%， 农村经济仍然繁荣。还有一个方面使中国人民高兴，外资企业仍然大量到中国寻求发展。 今年1至9月， 新批准外商直接投资项目 18,580个， 直接投资 493.47亿美元， 实际使用 322亿美元， 比去年增长 20.66%。 今年前三季度 中国经济增长率达到 7.6%。 立足于促进提高国内市场需求，是保证中国经济持续、快速、健康发展的关键。 加入WTO以后， 中国将更严格地遵循国际通行的市场规则， 进一步对外开放。我们相信，一个13亿人口的大市场会为拉动世界经济发展提供可观的动力。中国还要大规模开展基础设施的建设，改造和提升工业企业的装备水平， 还要提高农业的生产和加工能力。这都需要在国际合作的环境中才能实现。今后10年，中国大约还要进口价值3万亿美元的设备、技术和产品，这意味着巨大的市场和商机。 中国弱势以后，国内弱势产业将面临严重挑战。在环境、能源、水资源以及经济体制改革、开发大西北、缩小贫富差距等方面，还存在许多需要解决的问题。中国已敞开大门， 张开双手，欢迎包括英国在内的世界各国继续参与互利合作。中英合作伙伴关系的发展需要两国保持健康稳定的政治关系。不断扩大的经贸和各领域的合作关系， 又有助于推动两国政治关系的发展。这符合两国人民的利益。希望我们出席这次大会的所有朋友合作努力，共同为推动中英友好合作关系的全面发展不断做出新的贡献。单元三，
In the space of a single generation, relations between the United Kingdom and the People's Republic of China
have been transformed. Government to government and business to business links are closer and more varied than ever before. But the most exciting changes have been in the links between the British and Chinese peoples. Chinese communities have long existed as a respected and cherished presence in British cities. But today, more and more British people are visiting China to see for themselves the new dynamism of great cities like Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. We are rediscovering China's incomparably rich cultural heritage, as well as its immense economic potential. The Chinese are rediscovering Britain, too. We are delighted to welcome more Chinese visitors to our country each year. Many more Chinese are finding out about Britain through modern media like television and the internet. Indeed, there are more Chinese people learning the English language than there are native speakers of English in the world today. This growing relationship is measurable, too, in financial terms. British firms now have a huge presence in China, a sign of their confidence in the country and its future. The UK is the largest European investor, and a British company, BP, is investing more capital in China than any other foreign firm. The largest foreign manufacturing investment in Western China is also British. The UK is China's second largest European trading partner. British exports to China last year, at £3.72 billion, were up 17% on the year 2000. China's exports to Britain are at an all-time high. Many Chinese enterprises now regard Britain's flexible and open economy as an ideal launching pad into the wider European market. All this is a far cry from 1972, when the UK and the PRC first exchanged ambassadors. Then, there were virtually no Chinese students in Britain. Today, there are over 20,000, one of the largest overseas communities at our universities. Then, there were no direct air services between Beijing and London. This year, more than 250,000 British tourists will travel to China. Then, no serving British Prime Minister or Foreign Secretary had ever visited China. Last year, there were visits from 11 British ministers. The changing nature of international relations requires governments to work ever more closely together for their mutual benefit. In the globalized world economy, the security and prosperity of individual countries often depends on events beyond our borders. We are interdependent as well as independent. Challenges such as fighting environmental damage, ensuring global human rights are properly observed, removing barriers to trade and investment, and reducing poverty have become truly global issues. They loom larger on the agendas of multilateral organizations like the UN, the WTO, and ASEM. In the 21st century, bilateral relations between countries will depend on progress on issues like these. As two of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, our governments work together on a daily basis on problems affecting every corner of the world. Another change in the relationship between Britain and China has been developments in Hong Kong. I am delighted that Hong Kong has prospered since 1997, and that one country, two systems is proving such an effective approach. as a signatory of the Joint Declaration, the UK has an abiding interest in the continued well-being of the Special Administrative Region. But this is only a part of our wider commitment to China. We are increasing the resources we allocate through our Department for International Development to poverty reduction in China from £25 million this year to £60 million by 2004.
当前我国经济发展势头良好，经济增长的内在机制不断增强，基本做到了速度、质量和效益的统一。但是我们也要清醒地看到，世界上还没有一个国家的经济发展长盛不衰，永远保持高速度，中国也不可能例外。改革开放取得的成就是有目共睹的，但是随着经济形势的变化，又出现了一些新的矛盾和问题，比如国企改革问题、大量失业和待业问题、两极分化问题、腐败问题、金融风险问题、生态环境破坏问题等。这些问题都需要我们高度重视，尽快找到有效的解决办法。我个人认为，当前中国经济发展需要注意以下几个方面：一是加强房地产投资引导，运用经济法律手段约束高档商品房的盲目发展，促进经济适用房建设；二是做好国际国内经济形势的跟踪监测，及时制定应对方案。三是加强对汽车和钢材等行业的宏观监控，禁止低水平重复建设和无序竞争，既要尽早制止某些行业过热倾向的进一步蔓延，又要鼓励经济增长中的合理因素。这里需要解决的是如何掌握分寸的问题。既要调控和引导一些行业中出现的投资增长过快的倾向，又要采取措施解决部分生产要素供需矛盾加剧的问题。四是多方采取措施解决部分地区电力供应紧张问题，要切实加强水资源管理，缓解部分地区的缺水局面，同时加快城市和农业用水价格的改革进度。五是要在当前和今后一个时期继续深入开展廉政建设和反腐败工作，我们要从国务院开始建设规范的行为机制，以保证政府运转协调、公正透明、廉洁高效。这些措施显示出中国领导层力求在各个层面上扫清路障，为经济增长开辟顺畅的通道的决心。目前我国还很穷，按官方规定年人均收入600元以下为贫困线来计算，我国还有2000多万人没有脱贫，这是中国的标准。如果按联合国的贫困线每人每天1美元标准来计算，我国未脱贫的有1亿多人。我国各种债务总数大约有13.3万亿人民币，相当于一年的国内生产总值的1.3倍多，这是一种非同小可的财政负重。另外，如何应对入市带来的挑战也是一项艰巨的任务。中国的金融改革必须加快步伐，加大力度，做好迎接国际金融竞争的准备。总体来说，我对中国经济达到年增长超过7%的目标持乐观态度。
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the launch of our new L50 and to this presentation. In a way, launch is no longer the correct word. Many of you have already had a chance to get to know the new car in your test drive this morning, so I will not dwell on the technical capabilities of this car. What I would like to do is to share with you the thoughts that have gone into developing this new model so that you'll have a better idea of why it's such an exciting car to drive. I will also talk a bit about what has been happening in our company, the direction we are heading, our strategy, and our ambitions. After that, I'll talk about some of the major stages in our design and development of this model. After this presentation, we'll have lunch, which is served in the main conference hall. Our chef has promised a few surprises. I'm as curious as you are about what these might be, but back to the presentation. Our new L50 is the first in a family of new cars to be launched this year and in the next couple of years. It is a result of the most ambitious investment in our company's history, £125 million in design and development, in production capabilities, in sales network, and in our own people. The investment is based on our understanding of the market and our goal for the future. So what are they then? We want to sell 800,000 cars a year for the next 5 years. So far this year, we have already sold 560,000. And congratulations to those of you that have contributed to this success. This represents nearly 20% increase over the previous year, at a time when the market has declined by nearly 10%. Much of the increased sales have come from the commitment and dedication of our dealers and our staff. Thank you and well done. The launch of this L50 will mark the beginning of a series of launches, giving us a full range of new cars, 3-door, 5-door, estate, diesel, and from 1 liter all the way up to our luxury 2-liter salon. A convertible and a 4-wheel drive are also in the final design stage. With this new family, we'll be able to compete robustly with any competitor in the U.S., and we'll be able to take on the EU market too. But products alone are not enough. We have put substantial amount of money and effort into upgrading our retail operation, into our dealer network, and into our own sales force. This is built on our in-depth knowledge of our customers, what they want and what they need. It is based on the strength of our brand. If you visit one of our rebranded showrooms, you'll get a strong impression of our brand and what we stand for. We are taking market shares from our competitors. We are on target to take even more. We believe that the most effective way of getting more customers and growing our business is by new cars, not just any new cars. It has to be new cars that reinforce our brand value. Having test driven the L50, I'm sure you will all agree with me that the new L50 is exactly that, an embodiment of performance, safety, and functionality. These are the core elements of our brand value. These are the features that have caught the attention of media across Europe. These will be repeated in each and every new member of the family. That's all I'd like to say at this stage. My colleagues will now take you through some of the highlights in the design and development. This is a short video we produced just before this launch. It is meant to answer some questions. What is the thinking behind this development? How do we translate concepts into a new model? How does our core value influence the thinking of people on the factory floor and in showrooms? Ladies and gentlemen, the new L50.
今天我想就中国的金融体制改革谈谈几点建议。中国金融改革在95期间已经取得了巨大成就，但是需要做的事情还很多。由于时间关系，我在这里不求全面，只想提出几个我感触比较深的想法供大家参考。加入 WTO 的过渡期充其量只有2年多，中国必须在这短短的时间内完成迎接外资进入中国金融市场的战略安排，完成对国有独资商业银行的体制改革， 推动符合条件的商业银行上市，在金融全球化的潮流中激流勇进。我认为十五期间，中国必须将几大国有的独资商业银行重组为更多数量的股份制商业银行，由中国人民银行继续担任中央银行的角色。应该开始考虑允许建立省级银行，各行实行独立的法人制度。中国必须进一步完善商业银行内部的结构改革，我尤其希望要加强银行经理人员的培训，提高他们的素质。这里我建议参照发达国家银行业的培训方法，为我国造就一批知己知彼、了解竞争对手的人才。我建议尽早开始综合经营的试点，允许试点金融机构开展国外商业银行普遍参与的业务，提供更加全面的客户服务。试点的挑选必须是近年来业绩显著、实力雄厚、体制改革成功的银行。新业务可以包括按市场供需原则开发，推出新的贷款品种，以满足经济发展和社会发展的需要。近年来在抵押贷款方面的尝试就是一个很好的成功例子。另外，发达国家银行提供保险和个人投资服务的做法也很值得借鉴。与此相关，中国必须尽快建立起贷款利率的市场机制，让商业银行参照中央银行的基本利率，根据市场运作需要和自身利益确定各自的浮动利率。这不仅是个银行改革问题，还将大大改善银行业对消费者的服务，刺激经济发展。我们必须理顺监管体制，监管机关必须既拥有监管混业经营的能力，又能够根据不同对象的性质分别对待和处理。也就是说，必须区别对待不同类型的商业银行。我认为目前情况下，国有独资商业银行尚不具备混业经营的条件。